Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Hind Rectifiers Limited Q2 and H1 FY 2026 earnings call. Before we begin, please note that this conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Subramanian Nevatia, Chairman and Managing Director of Hind Rectifiers Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us for the Q2 and H1 FY 2026 earnings conference call of Hind Rectifiers Limited. I am pleased to be joined today by our CEO, Mr. Manoj Nair, CFO, Mr. A.K. Nemani, and our investor relations partners, Strategic Growth Advisors. We have uploaded our Q2 and H1 FY 2026 financial results and presentations on the stock exchanges and our website, and I hope everyone has had the opportunity to go through the same. Let me now begin with the key developments during the quarter, post which I will request Mr. Nemani to take you through our financial performance. The second quarter of FY 2026 was a period of continued operational strength, technological progress, and strategic consolidations for Hyrect. We maintained execution momentum across key product lines, progressed meaningfully on our new technology programs, and enhanced our competitive positioning through both domestic and international initiatives. Our order book remained strong at 1,099 crores as of September 30th, 2025, reflecting sustained demand momentum across our key product lines. The robust order position continues to be supported by healthy inflows from Indian Railways and leading OEM customers, ensuring strong visibility for the coming quarters. A major milestone during the quarter was the completion of our backward integration project at the Sinnar plant and the commencement of commercial production of critical and highly specialized copper conductors for the transformer industry. This initiative marks the creation of a new vertical within Hyrect that is focused on specialized copper conductors, which are fast-moving products with strong export potential. With this capability, we are better positioned to meet the growing demand not only of our own traction transformers but also the entire transformer industry in general. Through this project, we have built in-house capability to manufacture continuously transposed conductors, which is CTC, enameled paper insulated copper conductor, which is EPICC, and paper insulated copper conductor, which is PICC. These are critical raw materials for the production of traction transformers. The total investment for this initiative was about 56 crores, funded through a balanced mix of internal and term loans. This development will enhance our operational efficiency by streamlining the supply chain, addressing shortages of key raw materials, and reducing our dependence on external vendors. It will also ensure a timely and uninterrupted supply of transformers to our customers, while helping us to avoid penalties previously incurred from Indian Railways. Overall, the backward integration project will strengthen our operations, support the cost optimization, improve margins, and reinforce the long-term sustainability and competitiveness of the business. The second major development during the quarter was the strategic acquisition of Beeling Solutions. Beeling Solutions is a France-based company with almost four decades of experience in robotics, electronics manufacturing, and power electronics R&D. This acquisition marks a decisive step for Hyrect. It gives us a strong foothold in Europe and the opportunity to combine advanced manufacturing capabilities with deep R&D expertise in robotics and power electronics. This acquisition includes BeLinks' intellectual property, technology, customer contracts, providing a strong foundation for our international expansion. With BeLinks' advanced infrastructure and our expertise in power electronics, we are now positioned to scale globally and accelerate innovation across mobility, energy, and industrial markets. During the quarter, we further strengthened our leadership with the appointment of Mr. Manoj Nair as Chief Executive Officer of Hind Rectifiers. Mr. Nair brings over three decades of diverse leadership experience across the manufacturing, power, infrastructure, and technology-driven businesses, having held senior leadership roles at Cummins India and IIMS Limited, which is part of the CK Birla Group. His deep operational understanding, customer-centric mindset, and proven track record in scaling complex businesses make him exceptionally well-suited to lead HYREX into its next phase of transformation. Under his leadership, we aim to further strengthen execution capabilities, drive operational efficiency, and enhance our focus on technology, innovation, and customer value for building a stronger and more future-ready HYREX. I would request Mr. Manoj Nair to introduce himself, post which Mr. Nemani will take you through the financial performance for the quarter and the half year.
Thank you, Saramya, and good afternoon, everyone. I'm delighted to join Hind Rectifiers at such a pivotal stage in its journey. Over the years, HYREX has built a strong reputation in power electronics and traction systems, playing a key role in India's railway modernization and industrial transformation. In my new role, I'll be responsible for overseeing the company's overall operations and driving its growth strategy. With a clear focus on operational excellence, customer centricity, and long-term value creation. I look forward to closely working with Saramya and the entire leadership team of HYREX as we continue to build a large and profitable business. I'm looking forward to have great interactions with analysts and others on the call. Now I request Mr. Nemani to take you through the financial performance.
Thank you, Saramya and Manoj. Good afternoon, everyone. Let me present a summary of our financial results for Q2 and H1 FY26. Revenue from operations grew 37% on YoY basis to INR 27 crores in Q2 FY26. Our EBITDA for the quarter stood at INR 25.9 crore, which is a growth of 41.4% on a YoY basis, driven by cost optimization through backward integration and favorable operating leverage. Our PAT for the quarter stood at 14.7 crore, up 44.6% on YoY basis, driven by improved operational efficiencies and financial discipline. Now, in terms of our H1 numbers, our revenue from operations for H1 FY26 reached INR 441.91 crore, making a 46.6% YoY growth over INR 301.46 crore in H1 FY25. Our EBITDA stood at INR 50.1 crore in H1 FY26 with a margin of 11.3%, up from 10.9% in H1 FY25. Our PAT stood at INR 27.5 crore, up 44.6% on a YoY. Return ratio improved with ROE rising to 31.4% versus 25.9% in FY25, and return on capital employed stood 26.3% versus 24.1% in H1 FY25. On the working capital front, the company achieved a notable improvement in working capital efficiency, with working capital days have improved from 96 in H1 FY26 to 80 days in H1 FY26, reflecting continued focus on operational efficiency. This is all from my side. I now open the floor for Q&A.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Abhay Mal Lodha from Sanmati Consultants. Please go ahead.
Hello. Sir, congratulations for good set of numbers. My question is, sir, whether the company is diversifying itself from, because the business concentration is on railway, whether the company is diversifying itself from the in defense electronics in near future.
I'm sorry, I didn't understand the question. Can you please repeat?
Sir, the company's main business is concentrating on one segment. Supplier is the railway, Indian Railway. Just I wanted to know whether company is in future intend to diversifying into defense supply.
Right. Okay, thank you. Yes, primarily we are with railways. And as we have mentioned multiple times previously, we are diversifying into multiple different segments and defense is one of them.
Our second question is, sir, what is the total capital outlay for the FY26 and FY27? Capital expenditure.
Yeah, FY26, we can definitely give you apparently this fund. This may be approximately 60 CRO.
Okay. And then it will be funded through...
We have funded and taken the term loan of 34 crore. Balance will be funded by internal solid.
Okay. Thank you. I'll join that you.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Prolin Nandu from Edelweiss Public Alternatives. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, team. Thank you for giving me the opportunity. A couple of questions from my side. Just wanted to understand, order book, how do you see the order book growing from here on? Because quarter on quarter, it's flattish. And of course, it also shows that how strong our execution has been in Q2. But looking at the pipeline, how should one think about the order book growth going forward? And does the completion of the order book tenure still remains at around 1 year or anything has changed there?
Yes. So thank you. The order booking may seem to be flattish, but actually we are... dispatching more than we were previously, and order book currently is at 100, which is good enough for us at this stage. Execution is a 12 to 18 month window by which time we have to complete all the orders that we have on hand, particularly for the railway side.
Sure. But how is the pipeline looking in terms of L1 or, some of the orders that you are chasing, especially given the fact that, we have probably done backward integration in one of the segments, right? So also we were trying for the propulsion system. So what is the status of, that order expectation, right? And also, qualitatively, can you just color how do you see the pipeline?
So there are huge tenders which are in pipeline that keep coming out from the railways. So wherever we are an approved source, we are bidding for these tenders and we book the orders. Now, usually this happens pretty much after the budget, and that's when all the big tenders start coming out. This year, it is a little bit more scattered in a way. There are big tenders coming out even now, even in this month, even in the next month, there are big tenders expected. And we are participating and we are able to book the orders. So I don't see any reduction or any slowdown in terms of order booking or opportunity for inquiries from whether railways or even other private industries.
Good to know that. One last question before I join back the queue. This backward integration of specialized copper conductor that you mentioned, again, in the past, you had mentioned that there was this aluminum tag which you have indigenized, and that helped you to bring down the lower cost lower, right, by a certain percentage. In this particular backward integration of yours, what would be, let's say, bill of material for this particular item which you were traditionally sourcing from outside? Now it will be catered to in-house, catered through an in-house production. And what I also understand is that you intend to sell this particular product also to some of the other players. How big could be that TAM for you?
Sure. So the copper industry or the CTC products that we have made, it is being done for in-house use. We have built significant capacity, at least in terms of space. Phase one, the machines that we have put will cater to our needs. There is a huge requirement for this. Every transformer manufacturer needs these kind of copper conductors. There are more transformer guys than there are CTC people today. And so there is a huge expectation. We just commercialized the plant very recently, and we expect, things to become more streamlined in terms of supply chain, in terms of quality, and of course, the costing as well. Here, it's not about the BOM. The bill of material is basically primarily just copper. It's more about the process, how that copper is converted to CTC, and that's where your intellectual property, your quality, your performance, all of that comes in.
Understood. So what I understand is that, let's say, once the plant stabilizes and our needs are catered to, right, we do intend to sell it to other transformer players, and that necessarily not be the transformers who deal with only railway-based transformers, right? It could be for anyone, right? And we are still quite import-dependent on this product as a country. Is that understanding of mine also correct? And very few Indian manufacturers who are making this, maybe only a couple. Is that understanding for the CTC product correct?
Yeah, so we are not import-dependent. There are Indian companies making these copper conductors. It's just that the requirement is more than what Indian companies are able to deliver, which is why we are forced to import, but not anymore, because we have our own setup now. And yes, we will sell to other transformer guys, whether it's for traction or power or any other industry that's really irrelevant. It's just whoever wants it, we'll be happy to provide our services.
Thank you so much, and I'll join back the queue if I have more questions. But thanks for this.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Manish Goyal from Thinqwise Wealth Advisors LLP. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you so much. First, sir, if you can please provide update on the propulsion system which were undergoing trials, where are we in terms of number of kilometers coverage, and we were to participate in certain tenders. So if you can provide us some update on that, that was my first question.
Sure. So propulsion trials have been underway, but not yet officially, since we are doing it in Western Railway and they are doing it for the very first time. They have just given some clearances yesterday now, and once again, we need to get things sort of officially started, and it should happen sooner rather than later. We have that confidence. But it is not going to affect our participation in tenders. There have been tenders this month. We've participated, and we are sure to get orders from that.
So what probably earlier was communicated, sir, was that we'll probably get some development orders. So If you can just provide clarity as to in recent tenders, have we got more orders apart from the one development order?
Yeah, so these tenders were in October, I believe, towards the middle and end of October, and these tenders are not yet finalized. But if we get the orders from them, we'll definitely inform the exchanges that we have received orders for the propulsion system.
Okay. Sir, on the export orders, what we have got from traction transformers from Germany and even IGBT-based inverters to USA, if you can just give us some perspective, what is the probably order size or and also what is the opportunity going forward for in rectifier, what kind of revenue contribution can happen in next 2 to 3 years and going forward. So, yeah.
Okay, so we have dispatched and commissioned the transformers that were sent to Germany, and it's working well. And now we are talking to them for more opportunities of other products that they may need, whether it's transformers or some electronic equipment or some converters. So that discussion is ongoing. And the US converter, which is actually a very unique design that we have done, is now being dispatched. I think they have given the clearance and it will be dispatched now. And once it is commissioned, then we will talk to them for the new project and what scope is there. But there is big potential, and this adds significantly to our credibility to be able to export traction equipment outside. And we are working on how to get more orders from overseas.
Any sense on what is the kind of opportunity you have, like what you can address in probably next 2 to 3 years, sir?
It's not very easily definable because there are many projects happening in the North American states and in Europe as well. It's not very easy that we can quantify it, but we know what is the area that we are targeting towards.
Right. And sir, on the recent acquisition of Belling Solutions, if you can probably, we did read in the presentation about the company, but if you can provide your perspective as to how do we see it going forward in terms of what is the current revenue and what is the growth outlook, what is the profitability currently, and what kind of investments we are envisaging going forward.
Okay, so Belling Solutions is a robotic electronics R&D and EMS company. We have procured it, we have acquired it for operational excellence and for the scale and magnitude that they have of electronics and the kind of things that they do. And as we say that we want to become global, we needed a global footprint, and this has opened a lot of doors for us. They primarily work with automobile, and we don't work with automobile that much. So that is giving us a good complement where we are going to their customers to see if there's anything that Hyrex product can be used for in their businesses. So Belling is doing roughly 10 million euros. They have 10 million euros worth of orders, and sales will be around the same. It's not profitable yet. In fact, it will not be profitable for at least another several quarters. It will take time for us to bring it to profitability. But there are certain products that we have, there are certain IP that we have that we want to commercialize from there, and that can be used for the global market, which has big potential. So that's one of the other reasons why we acquired that company.
And so like you did mention that it's not profitable, but what are the kind of losses and how do you see like to get to fund those losses? Will you require to invest significantly going forward?
Yes, so we have a commitment that we will fund about 1.5 million euros every year for 3 years. It would be our goal to make it profitable before that. But if not, then this is the maximum amount of commitment that we have given.
Sir, what was the rationale for promoters to own 35% stake and not 100% by Hind Rectifier?
So there were two reasons. First, this opportunity was not for Hind Rec. It was actually for our other company who has the IP for IGBT gate drivers. And we were going to do that deal directly with that private company. But as we dug deeper into BeLink, we realized that they have this patented product which they make, which is called printed electronics. And we realized that, okay, that has more use for Hind Rec. And then they had a really good robotics division, which again had use for Hind Rec. And then we believed that Hind Rec would actually have more synergy than just the one IP that we were doing. So we decided to do it jointly so everybody can benefit. Also, it helps us diversify the risk a little bit from Hind Rec's point of view, from everybody's point of view, rather. So that's, I think it was a good structure that we had done.
Sure, sir. And last question, sir. As you have been indicating that company will grow 25%-30%, do you still maintain that, number one? And number two, on the margins outlook, sir, what kind of margin improvement we can see with this backward integration and operating leverage? Probably can we reach mid-double digit in next one or two years?
Regarding the margins, that's actually the first goal of our CEO to how we can make the margins better. We have tough targets. Yes, of course, the backward integration helps, but we also need to have a good product mix, good supply chains. Sometimes we had an issue, let's say, a year and a half ago where electronics became a problem for us, and that increased the cost. Currently, it is the CTC which is becoming a bottleneck. And now we've resolved all these ongoing issues. Let's hope nothing else comes up, which could be a big issue for us going forward. If not, I think we would be looking at a big improvement in the material cost. But there are also new products going into the field which are at very competitive rates. There will, of course, be a certain offset to all the improvements that we make. But we will try to balance it out and make it, of course, make it much better than what it already is.
Sure, sir. Thank you so much. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much. Participants who wish to ask a question may press star and one at this time. The next question is from the line of Manan Shah from Moneybee Investment Advisor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the opportunity. My first question is on the gross margins front. If I compare H1 to H1, our gross margins have contracted from around 28%-25%. What would you attribute this contraction in gross margins to? Has there been a change in the product mix, or the orders that we have won are at this sort of a gross margin?
No, it's actually not the pricing. It's basically we've had to, because of the shortage of the copper conductors, we've had to import from South Korea, from China. And for certain cases, we've had to lift it by air and not by sea because of a lot of supply chain problems and logistics problems. It's primarily that which is attributed to the gross margin. And yes, the product mix has not been extremely favorable, but that contributing factor is not as much as the supply chain and logistics problems have been.
Understood. So with the commissioning of the in-house copper conductor facility, you expect to go back to those sort of gross margins then?
Yes, yes. That should be the target that we have.
Q4.
From, I think, from Q4 onwards. Yeah.
Got it. Understood. My next question was on BeLink. So based on the publicly available records on BeLink, I think their revenue has significantly degrown from almost 30 million euros in 2021 to current 10 million. So is this primarily because the auto industry overall in Europe is not doing that well, which has impacted that revenue, or there are some other reasons? And our thought process behind acquiring this company is cross-selling HYREX products into BeLinks customers, or the other way, cross-selling BeLinks products into HYREX customers?
Okay. So yes, they were doing quite well. In fact, they were doing, you said, $30 million in 2021. They were once upon a time, they were doing $300 million back in the day. And that's the kind of scale and infrastructure that they have built, that they can do that much heavy lifting and that much revenue. The decline is because the automobile industry was declining, which is why they declined their sales. And then it declined further because it was put in receivership, at which point customers stopped placing orders. Now we have come in and we are trying to revive it and turn it around. The idea is not to sell their products here. The idea is to leverage the products that they have, like robotics, how we can improve our operations and improve our quality. Once upon a time, they were a very, very big company. Their quality protocols and their processes are absolutely top-notch. How we can implement those systems here. And we have certain IP, which we want, we would like to sell globally, and we want to build that through their company and sell it to every customer, whether it's our customer, their customer, it doesn't matter. It's just whoever needs it, we'll sell it for the European region and maybe even the North American region.
Understood. And does this company have any debt on its book?
No, it's debt-free.
Any potential write-offs in the receivables or inventory?
No, we've got a clean slate because we've taken it from receivership.
Okay, understood. Got it. I'll come back in the queue. Thanks.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Rupesh Tatiya from Long Equity Partners. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for the opportunity, and congratulations for good set of numbers. My first question, sir, is on propulsion system. Two, three sub-questions there. I think last call you said that the trial was already ongoing, and now you are saying that the trial is expected to start. So it's a little bit diverging version. So can you just help me with the overall, where are we? And when this trial, I think, is expected to complete, I mean, some detail, how many kilometers you are doing, which section it is in. And then this trial will make you, I mean, different locos might have different propulsion system, right? WAP-4, 5, 7 or WAG. So this trial makes you eligible for all kinds of loco, or it makes you eligible for a certain type of loco? So these are the some questions or clarifications around the propulsion system.
Sure. I will answer your questions. The first question was whether I said last time that it already started. I think that's incorrect. I said it's about to start because we are expecting the approvals at that point of time. Same was the situation 6 months ago. But there have been some issues beyond our control. It's the problem of Western Railway. They've never done a propulsion system trial. They are not quite clear on how to do it, but now things have become clear, and now it should start now because now things are going in the right direction. Secondly, yes, that makes us eligible for P7 and G9 locomotives, P5, P7, and G9, and that's the highest in locomotives in quantum today, which are running on the field. And the field trials are for 50,000 kilometers, after which there are some other tests that have to be done, and then it gets into commercialization.
From your point of view, when are they likely to complete? Any timeline?
So it should take not more than 2 months to 3 months once it starts to complete this.
Okay. Okay, clear, clear. So the second question, sir, is on traction transformers. This is, I think, such a core part of our business, and it is recently growing so well. My question is, how much of this business is driven by new locomotives, and how much of this is driven by replacement demand? What is the replacement cycle for traction transformers? The reason to ask this question is over. Sorry?
It's all new. We don't cater to replacement market. It's new transformers.
Okay. So, roughly 1,500 new locos get produced every day. So, we have some 45-50% market share in that, and that is how this business is growing, right?
Yes.
Okay. That also is clear. And how is the competitive landscape in this one? Can we say we are the lowest cost producer, most integrated player in this, or is there like some other competition who is, like equally good?
No, we have the best quality on the market. We have the supply rate. We have a very, very good product, the best product actually on the market. And that's because of that, we're able to get the orders and supply.
Okay. And in this one, it's fair to assume we are qualified across all loco types, P4, 5, 7, G7, 9, Emu, Memu, everything. We are qualified for everything.
Yes, for all the locomotives.
Okay. That is good. And then the other final question, sir, is on this hotel load converter, can you just give some idea about what is our market share? And I think also there is auxiliary converter also, I think, comes in the same segment. So what is our market share in that as well, these two products?
So the market size details are available in public domain. We are catering to, let's say, 20-30% of each of these products that you're mentioning.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for answering my questions. I'll come back and make it. Yeah.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Agam Shah, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity and congrats, good set of numbers. I have a few questions. So on the propulsion, on the propulsion system part, you said that trials are going on. So can you just maybe whatever you can share, once the trials are done, what kind of quantum of orders or what kind of orders can we look at? And second question is, so in terms of order book, quarter on quarter we are flat. So what kind of order book are we envisaging by the year end? Should we end up at this order book only? Because I think the run rate which you are going, this should be sufficient for you to for next 12 months. So what is the outlook going ahead, and what kind of order book can we end the year with? And also in the earlier, you spoke about entering into new verticals, defense and EMS and all. So can you talk broadly, 3 years down the line, currently we are only railway focused, with the acquisition, auto might, come in. So what kind of sectoral diversification things can look at, and maybe on numbers qualitatively, or contrary, whichever you want to comment, how can the business look like? So we are around 800,000 crore on our revenue base. So what can be this looking like 3 years down the line? Thanks.
Okay, so coming to the orders, the orders that we have in hand are not enough for next year because the targets for next year is bigger. And according to that, we will be booking the orders and the tenders that come out going forward. Diversification has already begun. CTC is a big part of the diversification plan that we have that goes beyond railways in the different segments. Also, B-Link is a diversified. They are not only into auto. They also have 20% of their business is from defense, and 20% of their business is from aerospace and other segments. So we are slowly and gradually moving, making moves to move to different segments and different sectors and different applications. And all that will become visible in years to come. And as committed previously, I'm not changing that number. We have said 30% year-on-year, and I will stick to that. And you can see the results, and they'll speak for themselves.
So you're saying 30% for next 3 years also, right? That's what you're aiming at, or how is it?
This is at least what we have already grown 40% of.
And can you also talk, so order book should be what, should you also assume 30% more for the year-end order book from current levels?
Yeah, I can't say what we'll be at the end of the year, but definitely we will be achieving getting the orders. It may come before March or may come before after March, okay. Sometimes the railway tender may finalize early, sometimes it may delay all that. So 30% growth, if you see in the queue, till date we have achieved almost, I can say, 46% growth all that. H1 to H1. Okay. So Q2 last time, sorry, H2 up maybe last month, so still we will be crossing definitely 30% on the year-to-year basis, sir. At least for next 3 years. Sir.
So give or take, even if a slight delay happens on your order book, still we'll be through, right?
Yeah, correct on this. Yeah, ultimately railway needs the material, okay. There is some demand, then they only they may say you supply early or that.
Okay, okay. And also one more thing. So I think you said that the entity which we have acquired is loss making. So the capex which we have to do is 1.5 million euros every year for next 3 years. How to read this?
No, that will not be capex. That will be only working capital we have to feed them, because business will be increasing. So there will not be, there at present immediately there is no capex, because this is, as our MD mentioned, this is a completely good plant all. But maybe small capex may come in next 1 or 2 years. But all are will be required for the working capital because of increased business.
And so once we...
Sir, sorry to interrupt, but can you please rejoin the queue?
Okay.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Angur Kumar from Alpha Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for taking my question and congrats for a good set of numbers. Sir, first question is on the growth side. So, as in order book is kind of flat for this quarter. So, but and we are also saying 30% growth, but we have done much more than that, 46% growth in 1H. So, can we expect a similar growth to continue in the second half, or we expect some lower growth because order book has been flat?
No, you can expect a higher growth, but my official commitment is 30%.
Got it, sir. And so basically on order win side, what are we expecting? How much to order win do we expect it in this year, sir?
Orders is not really a questionable problem today. I mean, there is enough opportunity, and it's just that right now it's a period where there are less things getting finalized. It's not like there is no tenders or there's no opportunity. It's just because of, I think, a break or something, things got delayed. But there is just huge potential and huge opportunity, and the fact that we're building more products and getting into more applications, there is no slowdown in the receipt of orders. In fact, that's not a criteria for us today at all to even look at the orders. Our criteria today is to improve operations and to improve supply chain, to improve the costing. Absolutely no shortage of orders.
Got it, sir. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of Prolin Nandu from Edelweiss Public Alternatives. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Two more questions from my side. One is that, Mr. Nevatia, we keep hearing increase in competitive intensity in some of our existing products, as well as some of our upcoming products like, let's say, propulsion system, etc., etc. From your vantage point, how has been the competitive intensity, let's say, in last 1 year? Are there more players which have come into the system, and our opportunity size within, let's say, each of those product segment, has it come down, or can you just help us understand both from an existing product angle as well as from the pipeline or upcoming product, how has been the competitive intensity?
Sure. So see, competitors will keep coming. It doesn't matter which product you are doing or which industry you're in. There are always competitors. What we are focusing is how we can be the most comprehensive supplier, how we can be more backward integrated, how we can have more advanced technology that enables us to have a really good product, a cost-effective product, and a highly efficient product, which is what Railway wants today. So yes, competitors will keep coming. But how will the competitors be competitive if they don't have a good IP or good technology or good process? So it's not really a very big concern at this stage, because we know the direction that we are headed in and what we are building and how we are backward integrating wherever we are going forward to be competitive, to make things in India and reduce imports. It's a whole big strategic structure that we have for every new product that we enter, and that it helps us to be competitive and helps us to maintain good margins.
We continue to invest.
Sure, I get that. And last question would be, Mr. Nivetya, you have been looking after this company for quite some time now, right? This is maybe you are the third generation, and this is the first time maybe, you know, an external CEO has come and joined. So just wanted to understand, how do you how do you intend to now spend your time, right, now that there's a CEO to look after things? And also maybe we can hear Manoj's side of story as well, as to what how did he see in Rectifier from an external kind of an eye, and what made him probably come and join us?
Right. So firstly, Manoj ji has joined us recently. Yes, he was with the CK Birla Group company, but before that he was in Cummins for almost 2 decades. And he has joined us with a very clear understanding and a very clear vision of improving, growing, managing and sustaining the entire Indian business that we have, improving the top line, improving the bottom line, getting us into places where we are not there today. Having worked in Cummins for so many years, he has a great penetration into the defense field and a variety of different applications, including railways. So we believe that he is the right person to lead us into the new generation of things that we intend to do in India today. And I will be looking more now for more global strategies, global opportunities, how we can take Hyrect really and make it a big global company. We have a lot of, let's say, opportunities in this space. So we keep evaluating and we then decide which ones should be pursued and which ones should be not. So we have a good strategy in-house of, there's an Indian team and a global team that we are now trying to create and work with to grow us, to grow our company from both sides, internally and externally.
Sure, that's it from my side. And probably, thank you so much. That's it.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Suramya Nivetya for closing comments. Thank you.
Thank you everyone for your participation and for taking the time to join us on today's call. The first half of FY26 has been marked by strong execution, strategic advancements and continued growth momentum. With robust visibility, a healthy order book and recent strategic initiatives gaining traction, we are confident of sustaining this momentum in the coming quarters with even more opportunities being explored globally. Our focus will remain on strengthening our core business, driving innovation and enhancing efficiency across operations to deliver consistent, profitable and long-term value for all stakeholders. I would like to thank everyone for joining the call today. In case of any further queries, please reach out to our investor relations advisors, Strategic Growth Advisors. Thank you. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Hind Rectifiers Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.